Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay in the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
After 6 hours of school, I had enough of the day. I hit the radio dial and tuned it up all the way. I got a dance, 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 dance.
We need to be respectful of each other, respectful to the bill sponsors, and respectful to the members of the public that have come here to speak. One of the bills has over 150 appearance cards, and another has over 15. So please be concise with your comments and don't ask questions that have already been asked.
This was the House Committee Chair Lauren Mello talking about House Bill 999. That is the bill that Alex Andrade is running on higher education. It was the first of his two big bills to present in the House yesterday. One was yesterday, one was the day before. And, you know, these are the bills that have made national, even international news to some degree. And as you heard her say, over 150 speakers. 150. As the person who watches these meetings, it's like simultaneously I'm thrilled because I know I'm going to get golden audio out of this. I mean, it's going to be like people are going to be falling over themselves to say the next most outrageous thing over somebody else. On the other hand, it's going to be 2.5 hours of my life. I'm always like, I know I'm not going to get to play all the audio, so I'm always torn like, you've got enough. You got enough. Yeah, I don't have enough. Come on, give me one more, you know. So as I'm listening, and the good news is she did the right thing.
Originally, we were going to limit public testimony to 1 minute, but due to the amount of appearance cards, the only way for us to get this meeting done in a timely manner is to limit to 30 seconds.
Oh, man. People drove like 8 hours from Miami to come testify in this bill, and they got 30 seconds. But look, that's the reality of it. When something is controversial, a lot of people show up. They can't give you more time because the meeting itself can only last so long. And, you know, be glad you get anything at all. And, you know, people pitch a fit, and then some people show up, and they, you know, to their credit, a lot of people show up and then wave in support. Well, wave in opposition. There was only one person in the entire room that was in support of this on Monday. And by the way, kudos to her, brave soul, to get up and speak in a room full of very, very angry people, including lots of representatives from the highly placid Students for a Democratic Society. Yeah, no, the SDS is like the revolutionaries of the educational world. So, you know, they're scary. And they said crazy things, of course, as you would expect. All right, so Alex Andrade gets up there, presents the bill, and basically explains it. Now, before I play you all the clips, and there's a lot of them, but I want to explain what the bill is because we've talked about it before. And as often happens, people misunderstand a thing because they don't bother reading it. They just hear a headline and they get all worked up and then they drive 8 hours and they get angry because they only got 30 seconds. Anyway, this is the one that would require the university mission to be reviewed periodically to make sure that it's not violating Section 1000.05(4A) of the Florida Code. That's the one we passed last year that says that you cannot indoctrinate your employees or that they have to believe race, gender, identity are the basis of any superiority to anybody else. Members of one race, color, national origin, or sex are morally superior to members of another race, color, national origin. You're not allowed to teach that. A person, by virtue of race, color, national origin, is inherently racist, sexist, or oppressive, unconsciously or consciously. You cannot teach that or require that of your employees to learn that. That a person's moral character as privileged or oppressed is determined by race, color, national origin, or sex. That members of one, these categories, should not attempt to treat others without respect to these things, as in that you cannot and should not try to treat people color blindly, gender blindly, that kind of thing. That these are immutable characteristics you cannot change, that they shape who you are, they determine who you are, they make you a racist, a sexist, whatever, and people can be held accountable for the behaviors of people in the past that look like them and are like them. It's all of this stuff, okay? We passed this last year, making it illegal to subject a student or employee to indoctrination in wokeism, which is this is the basis of wokeism. And now they're just applying that to the university level by saying that the university has to review their mission to make sure they're not violating the section. They have to get rid of gender studies, critical race theory, and intersectionality as minors or majors because they are already illegal under this statute. Prohibits diversity, equity, and inclusion statements or other political identity filters as part of application, promotion, tenure, and employment. So you can't have to subscribe to those, you know, I swear I'm an anti-racist. You can't have to do that. It allows review of tenure anytime for cause. And it's every 5 years right now. It's not mandatory, but it allows it if they do something illegal, for example. Board of Trustees and the president become responsible for hiring faculty. They cannot delegate it back to the departments. Everyone making over 100 grand a year gets an annual performance evaluation. You can't promote programs that violate that section of state law or use money to do so. You have to teach that America was founded on universal principles like the Declaration of Independence and not identity politics like critical race theory. You have to have there's a variety of specific goals for various subject matters. It's too much to get into. And it puts curricula with unproven, theoretical, or explorative subject matter into electives. They cannot be part of general education requirements. That's something that gets misconstrued about this bill all the time, like it's banning those subjects. No, it's just saying that they have to be electives. All right, so the people, what did they say?
Originally,
here we go. Elizabeth, not that one. Here, one of the common complaints is that we have a great university system now, and this would ruin it.
What you are doing here is taking a first-rate, one of the number one in the nation higher education systems, and you are trashing it. With the passage of this bill, you will lose the best and brightest faculty. You won't attract any new faculty. You won't attract
Bring
any graduate students.
Please.
You will lose $1 billion in research education money.
Okay, making a significant change to the curriculum requirements for the university system in the state of Florida is risky. Oh, no doubt. No doubt. I mean, it would be silly to not admit that. It is risky because you have the prospect of losing grant funding. You have the prospect of having challenges hiring, for example, faculty to come teach in an environment like this. On the other hand, and we have really, really good universities, right? Tops in the nation. Not always the case historically, but now it is. All right, so that's one possibility. Another possibility is, can you imagine if we freed the universities from the hindrances and shackles of teaching this crap? Can you imagine if they just focused on teaching things that were useful, reliable, and productive instead of this crap? Imagine how much better they could be. You know, we wouldn't have to be trying to make one Hillsdale of the South. They could all be the Hillsdale of the South. They could all be fantastic. That's another possibility. But here you go. That was Dr. Rich Templin. Here's Tyler Tonin, education at USF.
We have the best public university system in the country, especially in terms of keeping talent in the state and contributing beneficial research. The state doesn't have a paternalistic interest that prevails in universities like it does for primary education. Don't ruin a good thing, members, please. Thank you.
Yeah, and look, again, he's saying there's no paternalistic interest. That's the legitimate justified oversight of something because it's not cognitively developed enough, not mature enough. Paternalism is what parents use to rule over their children and make decisions for them. And the idea is K through 12 is one thing, but higher education, you don't have that same paternalistic interest. I think I said education. It's economics at USF. Another concern is that we would be losing grant money. This is a little bit longer, but I thought it's worth hearing this objection.
I'd like to speak about the potential financial impacts of this bill.
By the way, this is Christina Andrews Larson, who's a teacher at FSU.
Particularly the language around prohibiting expenditures directly or through contract, grant, or agreement that provides services that espouse diversity, equity, and inclusion, or critical race theory. This wording has the potential to preclude public Florida higher education institutions' eligibility for grants from national public and private funding agencies ranging from IES to NSF to NIH to Spencer to Gates Foundations to Howard Hughes Medical Institute to NASA. FSU currently reports $350 million per year in annual research expenditures. This is FSU only. Current language could require a return of 30 to 50% of grants in some colleges within the university.
What she's saying is substantial. You should take this seriously. You have all of these organizations that offer grant money, of which FSU receives $350 million a year, and of course all your other institutions receive hundreds of millions of dollars a year. And what she's saying is that those granting agencies have diversity, equity, inclusion phrasing or requirements in their grants conditions, right? That's kind of, you have to subscribe to that stuff. So if you don't, because the universities won't be allowed to anymore, you're going to lose that grant funding. That's a realistic concern. Don't ignore it. That's a realistic concern. Also, hiring. Brian Inouye, FSU biologist.
I'd like to raise concerns about hiring faculty and also the post-tenure reviews. We work very hard to recruit excellent faculty from an international pool, and we are competing with other universities for these faculty. Our department is currently, in fact, trying to recruit senior faculty with multiple NIH grants, and they've expressed concern about HB 999 and whether they would want to move their institution, their research, to the state of Florida. So just be aware that the university will be weakened by some of the provisions within this bill.
Some faculty, perhaps many faculty, will not want to come here to teach under these circumstances. And you know a lot of that is based on the portrayal of Florida outside of Florida. I still think it's amazing. You know, people who lived elsewhere during the pandemic and maybe moved here or came here or whatever, they basically showed up in Florida expecting to see people dying in the streets of COVID. That was the portrayal of Florida from elsewhere. And then when they weren't, they're like, wait, what? Well, same thing. You know, the portrayal of Florida under Governor DeSantis is completely at odds with what we are experiencing here. And the truth of that gets out, and that's why so many people moved here. And then the truth of that doesn't get out, and that's why a lot of people think that Florida is, you know, like the apocalyptic city. They do, okay? And so this is a realistic concern as well. The flip side of this is that there are some teachers, very, very good teachers, who are so frustrated with having to teach under the woke regimes in their existing schools elsewhere who will gladly come to Florida to teach here. So which one is a greater number? How many will we lose or miss out on versus how many will we gain remains to be seen, right? Also a possibility when it comes to grant funding. There may be other granting agencies that step in that are conservative that do not have the DEI requirements in them that we might have access to. Just a possibility, okay? So what's my overall take on this? There's so much more to say about this bill. My overall take is I think it's worth the try. Because right now, the university system, and for my entire life, the university system has been a captured territory of the left. Even UWF, okay? Though I love it, it's our hometown university, though I love it. If you go on campus, you can't help but miss all the signs. It's captured by the left. Okay, it really is. And so what should we be doing as a state? Well, one possibility is let it be. Another possibility is, you know what? Taxpayer funds should only be going to fund education in things that are of benefit to the state, of benefit to the taxpayers. And therefore, to the degree that we can eliminate the nonsense, create a little bit more neutrality on campus, and try to make sure that we're getting good results for our money, as in not wasting money on things that are counterproductive to the very idea of America, let's do that. So I'm for it. I am. I think there are risks. Absolutely, there are risks involved in doing this. I still think it's well worth doing. 522 on News Radio. And this comes to somebody who taught for 10 years at, you know, all levels of college, right? Community college, college, HBCU. I taught at HBCU for a couple of years, all the way up to university level. So I'm familiar, and at a lot of campuses. Not here in Florida, but it's not different here in Florida. 523 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors. I mean, they're fantastic. They have cars that are 1, 2, 3 years old. And the idea is when you go and buy a new car, you lose value in that car the moment you drive it, right? So you lose a tremendous amount of depreciation immediately. That's why Dave Ramsey, for example, says, don't buy new cars. You know, like that's not a winning proposition. But instead, buy that same car a year or two later, then you don't have to lose the depreciation, but you get all the value that comes in having an almost new car. That's what they specialize in, cars that are almost new, okay? And they have a tremendous selection, about 300 different trucks, vans, SUVs, you know, sedans, economies, all in the lot at the same time so that you can compare different ones right side by side. Get in them, sit in them, see if it's comfortable, fiddle with the knobs, you know, the radio, move the windows, the steering wheel, all of that stuff, and then drive. Drive 3, 4, 5, 6. Drive one that's outside of your, like, class range. You know, you're driving pickups, we'll drive a sedan. You're driving sedans, drive a Jeep. You know, just try something because you never know what you might fall in love with. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind the big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
I'll second guest dinners with friends because they can be interrupted by diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or oily stools. It turns out I have EPI, or exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, which means I'm missing the enzymes needed to digest food. My doctor prescribed Creon pancrelipase, an oral prescription medication that replaces pancreatic digestive enzymes. Creon treats EPI due to cystic fibrosis, chronic pancreatitis, pancreatectomy, or other conditions.
Creon may increase your chance of fibrosing colonopathy, a rare bowel disorder. Tell your doctor if you have a history of intestinal blockage or scarring or thickening of your bowel wall, if you're allergic to pork, or if you have gout, kidney problems, or worsening of painful swollen joints. Call your doctor if you have any unusual or severe gastrointestinal symptoms or allergic reactions. Take Creon as directed by your doctor and always with food. Do not chew capsules, as this may cause mouth irritation. Other side effects may include blood sugar changes, gas, dizziness, sore throat, and cough. These are not all the side effects of Creon.
Creon is the number one prescribed EPI treatment. Ask your doctor about Creon for EPI and visit creoninfo.com or call 800-633-9110 to learn more. That's creoninfo.com.
In a world of payroll and HR services, things can get complicated. There are so many moving parts in business. At Avalon HR, we understand, and we have your back. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel as we guide you through the complicated world of payroll and HR services. Running a business is busy work. Allow Avalon HR to work with you. Join us today on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
From county commissioner meetings to the Blues, Andrew covers it all on your morning drive on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Could I have a hug?
No.
Give me a hug.
No way.
Come here.
I'm not coming over there.
Let's go.
Forget it.
Pronto.
Good morning, 526, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Candy's out all this week, but we got Gracie sitting in with us this morning. Holla. And David Wayne. Those are, is that what, how would you, chiffon lime green headphones? I mean, those are very futuristic.
Thank you very much. I knew you'd appreciate them.
They're like a prom dress shade or like bridesmaid dress shade is what I think of when I see them. So.
But then they're shiny.
They are shiny. So. That's what I'm saying. It's pretty cool. It makes me feel bad. And my ones where the little white ear protectors are all rubbing, falling off. They're not brand new. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines and his new headphones. Hey, David, what's going on?
Good morning. The first hearing in a case involving nationwide access to the abortion drug mifepristone is scheduled for today. Conservative legal group asking a judge in Texas to nullify the FDA's approval of the drug, which would effectively ban it across the country. It was first approved in 2000. It's been used by millions of people. Ohio suing the Norfolk Southern Railroad Company over the toxic train derailment in East Palestine. Attorney General Dave Yost announced the state is seeking damages, civil penalties, and a declarative judgment that Norfolk Southern is responsible. And the Iditarod is over, and the winner this year is the grandson of the Iditarod's co-founder. Ryan Reddington crossed the finish line yesterday to claim the 2023 Iditarod Championship.
Yeah, that's a race I would have 0% interest in ever doing. I'm glad they love it. I'm glad they enjoy it.
Not interested in racing across Alaska with a team of Huskies.
No. The cold, the frostbite, all of it. Like, there's zero parts of this that appeal to me. But I'm glad you enjoy it. That's wonderful. The world is full. The God's garden has lots of different flowers. And I'll take it. David, thanks so much for the update. 528 on News Radio 92.3. What else do we have going on? Oh, by the way, in case you haven't been tracking this, inflation is still high, but it keeps declining. And, you know, though it's high for reasons and basically bad governance, and I've said this to you before, but this is worth reminding. Inflation is not a problem only in the United States. You know, a lot of people who kind of have the viewpoint that I have as a conservative look at Biden, look at our inflation, and blame him for it, or blame Democrats for it, for all the spending that they went through, ridiculous spending that they went through during the pandemic. There's truth in that, okay? But keep in mind that there's other parts of this as well, including supply chain issues related to COVID and employee shortages and countries and their lockdown policies and our lockdown policies. And, you know, there's some degree to which it's true that the Russian invasion of Ukraine affected energy prices. That's also a source key source for inflation. All three of these factors, okay? And if you look around the world, other countries have inflation. Many of them have it far worse than we do. Some of them have it better, okay? We're not middle of the pack, but we're like, you know, lower middle of the pack, let's just say. So all of that is true. It's not uniquely a byproduct of our government or President Biden, but, you know, our government and President Biden did some things that made it worse, and also I'm sure did some things that, you know, avoided problems, okay? So all that said, it's right at just under 6% now. It's gone down again just a little bit year-over-year inflation. It keeps trending down ever so slightly since last summer's 9% annualized rate at the top back then. January was 6.4. In February, it's 6%. Okay, so it keeps trending down ever so slightly. But remember, it's supposed to historically be about 2%, maybe 3%. So we're still double to triple what it is supposed to be annually. But the slight decline is an improvement. And improvements are good. Don't, you know, in your effort to be upset about the price of everything that you buy, keep track of the facts and, you know, be fair. Always be fair. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headline. Or, David, what do you have coming up in your news, sir?
Mayor D.C. Reeves comments on the investigation on the Palafox shooting after Fox.
Fox News, I'm Lillian Wu. Tensions escalating over a downed U.S. drone, the first known direct confrontation between Russia and the U.S. since the Ukraine invasion.
That U.S. Reaper drone went down about 75 miles southwest of Russian-occupied Crimea near Ukraine after a Russian fighter jet collided with the drone's propeller. Russia's ambassador to the U.S. wants the U.S. military to stop what he calls hostile flights in the Black Sea near Russian-controlled territory.
Fox's Lucas Tomlinson. Some U.S. lawmakers, like Congressman Carlos Jimenez, wants the U.S. to send a strong message.
We should send 3 more drones over that area and tell the Russians, show the Russians that we don't care what they say. This is international waters.
The Florida Republican appearing on Fox and Friends first, and about a 250,000 customers are without power in the Northeast this morning after a nor'easter churns through. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 5:31 News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now, 43 degrees. It is partly cloudy in Pensacola. Mayor D.C. Reeves says the investigation continues and PPD is making good progress, but they still need any information they can get from the public.
But we certainly are asking our community to cooperate with any information that they may have. You can contact Detective Skipper at 850-698-0891. And of course, as always, you can share information anonymously with Crime Stoppers at 850-433-STOP or via the P3 app on any smartphone. So,
and of course, this is in reference to that shooting that happened in a parking lot across the street from Club Climax last weekend on Sunday. 23-year-old Ariel Thomas was found shot there. And if you have any information, again, you can contact PPD or you could call Crime Stoppers. Governor Ron DeSantis says protecting Ukraine from Russia's invasion isn't a vital interest to the U.S. In response to a questionnaire from Fox News host Tucker Carlson, DeSantis dismissed the conflict as a territorial dispute between those two countries. The DeSantis says that Biden administration's blank check funding for Ukraine without any defined objectives distracts from the country's most pressing challenges at the moment. Life in prison for a Pensacola man that's been convicted of home invasion that ended with him kidnapping a woman, raping her, and then stealing her car and debit card. 42-year-old Billy Ray Smith Jr. was sentenced last week to life in state prison. That home invasion happened back in August of 2021. Escambia County Public Schools looking to hire more campus security officers. The school district says their ideal candidate would have prior law enforcement or military experience and would need to be passionate about working with kids. Applicants will also go through an extensive training curriculum and a background screening from the sheriff's office. Anybody interested can apply online at the school district website. And the district says you should apply soon as the training process and the background screening process are both going to be extensive. It is 5:33. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. Another beautiful sunny day today with temperatures slightly cooler than average. High today near 65 degrees with mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 50 degrees. We'll warm up slightly as you go into Thursday, high near 72. Mostly sunny skies Thursday, and Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 67. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you, Brooke. Right now, 43 clear skies in Pensacola, 46 in Gulf Breeze, and 40 in Milton. Our next news at 5. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne. News Radio 92.3.
News Radio Pensacola is your source for informative, local, dependable news and talk. Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay gets you a breakdown of the local issues from the county commission meetings to new developments. Pep Talk gets you local expert opinions on everything from gardens to HVAC. Brian Kilmeade interviews the national newsmakers. Dave Ramsey helps you become debt-free. Pensacola Right Now infotains on your drive home. Local and Fox News at the top and bottom of every hour. And traffic on the fives during your drive time. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
When it comes to precious metals, there's only one place to consider, and that is Emerald Coast Coins. They're the local leader in dealing with coins and jewelry. Gold, silver, diamonds, and sterling silver. Emerald Coast Coins buys, sells, and trades. And for the past 15 years, customers from all over the Gulf Coast have trusted Emerald Coast Coins for the best estimates and prices in town. Stop in today. They're on Creighton Road, right across from Tom Thumb. Emerald Coast Coins.
Everyone understands that when you buy more, you should pay less. It's called a volume discount. Hi, this is Earl Ron, president of New South Window, and we would like to make and install your windows. New South offers volume discounts for homeowners. The more you buy, the more you save. Our discounts start at the fourth window, and from there, the savings grow. New South can do this because we own our factory, and that's the power of Factory Direct. Award-winning, energy-efficient windows that will save you money and protect your home. Our windows are made in Florida, for Florida homes, by Florida workers, and we guarantee them for life. Visit us at newsouthwindow.com.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WEAR-TV, and the News Radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
You guys a pulse of the country. Four major topics every single mayor is dealing with. Everyone is homelessness, affordable housing, fentanyl, and recruitment and retention of police officers. Those are the four. I mean,
yes.
you won't find one mayor in the United States that said we have any of those figured out yet.
This is a comment by Pensacola Mayor D.C. Reeves recently on the Coffee with the Commissioner, with Commissioner Jeff Bergosh, saying that there are four issues that every mayor everywhere in the entire country deals with: homelessness, housing shortage, retaining police, and also dealing with fentanyl. And, you know, I thought, well, okay, Pensacola might be a little bit different, at least with a couple of those. But, and, you know, we obviously have seen, you know, certainly we have seen the three of them, I should say, fentanyl, the housing, and homelessness. Retention of police, I don't know, that one we seem to do better than other places at. We talked about this a little bit with Chip Simmons, the Escambia County Sheriff, yesterday. Sheriff, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
Good to have you. So there are two of those that are relevant to your agency. Obviously, you used to be the chief of the Pensacola Police Department, then with corrections and among other things at the county. You did a lot of things, yeah. And you did a lot of things back in the day that we don't always talk about.
Yeah.
That are, you know, all kinds of things in law enforcement, right?
Okay.
Mostly good things. But recruitment and retention of law enforcement officers, we do talk about this quite a bit.
Right.
He said, you know, every mayor struggles with that across the country. I would say that mayors outside the South struggle with that a lot. Is my perception right that especially here in Florida, you know, more pro-law enforcement areas, that we do better with it? It's still harder, but it's not hard like it is, say, in Illinois or New York or California.
Well, I mean, I would say that it's still a struggle. I said, but we are able to attract individuals that want to come and live in Florida, first of all, and then we do have the support of the community. It's still okay for a child to want to be a police officer when they grow up here in Escambia County. We see it. I hear it all the time.
Isn't that a crazy thing that you have to say? That
yeah.
Here it's still okay to want to grow up to be a cop? Like, in a lot of places, that's amazing. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
Well, I mean, I've been to conferences throughout the country, and I was in D.C. a couple of months ago, and they had that conversation. They can't get people, and it's almost like you can't even talk about wanting to be a police officer but here in Escambia County, certainly, we're able to attract a number of people. We only have just a couple of openings now, and we could fill those if we really wanted to. It's just the pipeline just takes so long. That's why we tried to get. That's why we were able to get our own training academy, so we can use our own timing and train our own deputies.
If this doesn't get fixed in other parts of the nation, what's going to be true in 10 years? Because, I mean, it's one thing to say right now it's hard, but that's going to be an ongoing problem, you know? If people aren't becoming cops, wanting to become cops, as a systemic problem across the nation in many parts, that's a huge issue.
Well, I mean, and that's why you have to approach it. A lot of people think you just throw money at it, which is something you obviously have to do. If you can get a better job, or a better paying job somewhere else, then you know someone will go another location. But I think that if it continues, I fear that those cities, specifically the ones that are in a more liberal communities, I fear that they'll just accept the fact that there is a crime-ridden community. I mean, around here we have a crime. We talk about it. Oh my gosh, this took place. You know, we had a stabbing over the weekend.
Yeah.
But up in some areas, it happens so frequently that it's not even news anymore.
It's just the background noise of an urban life or something.
Yeah, let me know when you have a mass shooting. Let me know whenever it affects a school, and that's just heartbreaking. But that's not the case here, fortunately. We have a lot of support, and our men and women in law enforcement here in Escambia County and Pensacola do a fantastic job.
The other thing that DC mentioned was fentanyl, and you and I have talked about this many times, but there's been some, unfortunately, new things connected to that, right?
Well, you know, we had a record-breaking fentanyl arrest just a couple months ago. We did a press conference on it, talked about how we seized enough fentanyl to kill potentially 800,000 people and all this. And I just over the weekend, like late, I think Friday, a couple days ago, we had a report of a double overdose. Now, one person ended up surviving, but one did pass away from the overdose. And then Sunday, we had another double overdose. Both of them passed away. And then last night we had another. Now
another double? Again?
No, a single. So oh, okay. In the past 5 days or so, we've had five overdoses, four of which passed away. And the odd part about that is that we've had is the doubles. It's these are two people that they get together and they overdo it. And that's a little bit of a concern for us. And so if anyone wonders why we're so tough on these drug dealers, why I partner with some of our federal agency, why the DEA, why we spend, you know, a lot of our time and prioritize fentanyl is because fentanyl is killing our community. And it's just something that is just the highest of priorities for the Escambia County Sheriff's Office. And it's just, again, the reason I bring it up is because it's odd that we would have two doubles in the last couple of days.
Are the users, I mean, and I suppose it's probably a little bit of both, but are they caught by surprise by there being fentanyl and things they didn't expect it to be in, that it's cut into other drugs? Or do they know it's got fentanyl and they just can't handle the potency of it, or both? Or
that's based on what I'm hearing. Again, it's probably true in everything you say in different settings.
Sure.
I believe they are looking to get high on fentanyl.
So that is the demand drug now.
But they don't understand. Yeah, it's fentanyl is a more substantial high for them. And then they continue to push the envelope and push the envelope. And again, there was two of them. The one, again, we don't get into names and we don't get into too many details, but I mean, they're all, they have fentanyl in the area. They have syringes. They have all the telltale signs of a drug overdose. I just think it's heartbreaking to see what has become of some of the people in our community. You hear a lot about they thought they were taking aspirin and it was fentanyl laced, but we rarely see that. The overwhelming majority of the overdoses that we see are those who intend to take fentanyl, and they either in their euphoria they continue to take more, and they don't understand how much they've taken until it's too late.
In other words, people who have bad judgment when it comes to using drugs in the first place might also have bad judgment in how much of that drug is safe for them to consume or under what certain, which
and if both of them are doing it, if there's two in a room, both of them are doing it, there's no
safety.
Cooler head to prevail. There's
right.
no one can say, hey, we've had enough. And as long as they have it, they'll continue to smoke it until it's gone.
Sheriff, you kind of mentioned it just a moment ago when we were talking, but we've had not one but two stabbings in the last week, one at a Town and Country Mall and one at a wedding reception in Molino on Saturday night. Is that right?
We just reported as it's reported to us, and we had one stabbing based upon a fight at Town and Country Plaza, right there at Fairfield and Pace.
Right in your backyard, basically.
Yeah, across the street. But apparently they have a party there, and the party was leaving and into the parking lot of Town and Country. There was a fight, and the report was a stabbing. I don't have any information on the condition of the individual that was stabbed. No one's really giving us much information, just a crowd of people fighting, someone ends up being cut, and they're claiming they were stabbed.
Gotcha.
That sort of thing. And then we had another one that was, like you said, at a wedding. You know, there's so many stories and movies about weddings and you know, things, strange things happen. But we ended up arresting Harold Alfonso Ramos Files of Ocala and charged him with aggravated battery and use of a deadly weapon. Basically, it was a result of a private event wedding on Crabtree Church Road. But they airlifted a hospital, but as I understand it, he'll survive.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good, but, you know, it's not great when you have a stabbing at a wedding. But, you know, people partying sometimes get to talking and don't agree with each other and drinking and all the things that happen at a wedding. I mean, you know.
We have the same thing happening during holiday season.
Yeah. You know,
we have people, yeah, extended that makes family sense. Comes in and rehash some old rivalries.
We also had on Old Corryfield Road, we had a guy who was in his 70s was out walking. Somebody attempted to rob him. He tries to defend himself. He gets shot. I mean, what happened here?
Well, I mean, I'll call him our hero in this story.
Okay.
So our hero's walking his two dogs off Old Corryfield Road, and two guys approach him and pull a gun and try to rob him. He pulls his own gun, and then they run, but they also shoot at him. He shoots at them. He ends up getting shot in the ankle, but our hero is expected to survive.
Wow. Do you know time of day?
It was early in the morning.
But light out?
I don't know that it was light out,
okay.
But it was really early in the morning.
Well, because
I'm just at dawn.
You know, in my mind, okay, you know, there's places you go where you feel like this is perhaps an unsafe place to be by myself, and there's places you go where you're like, it's Old Corryfield Road. For goodness sakes, it's a major road. Semi, you know? That wouldn't be... So, I don't know. I guess... He didn't get robbed.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot greater conversation here to be had about concealed weapons and protecting yourself and all that sort of thing. And when an individual, you know, protects themselves and takes the steps to protect themselves and then actually does it, you know, I applaud, you know, because that's what I would do.
He's doing everything you tell people to do.
He was prepared, be aware, yeah,
be trained, get your certificate.
It, you know, and he survived the day. And I think that's very important.
Yeah, that's true. I had been thinking how bad that he got shot, but the good news is he didn't get killed.
Yeah.
You know, and you don't know when somebody's rolling up on you trying to rob you with guns. You never, I mean.
And again, I'm not saying everyone should you know, pull a gun and start shooting. I think, you know, we talk about, you know, the reasonableness of the action at the time that it took place and whether you thought that you or someone else was in danger. Clearly he was in danger. And as I say once, I'll say it again and again. It's okay to protect yourself in Escambia County, and as long as I'm the sheriff, you're not going to be penalized for that.
Thank goodness. You were at PPD Chief for a while. I know you're familiar with what used to be the Platinum Club. It's now Club Climax. It's gone through a variety of things. We had a horrible incident that took place there a couple of years ago. We've had another one over the week. I think it's in the city limits, so it's really not your jurisdiction anymore. Right. But, I mean, first reaction from a lot of people is, well, why don't they just shut that down? And I know that's not your domain anymore, but is that an overreaction, or is that the kind of thinking we ought to be having? Do you have an opinion? Feel free to say it's not your issue. You don't want to weigh in, but...
Well, no. I always have an opinion, as my wife would say. I think that, like, we talked about the stabbing at Town and Country Plaza.
Yeah.
That's actually the second stabbing we've had there in about 6 months. And so I've already instructed our people to contact the owners, contact it, and find out who they're leasing this to. And when I was a police chief, I would write letters to people, say, you're experiencing this much crime there, you're drained on resources, you need to do something, because I'm logging this letter, and so if someone wants to sue you later on, I'm gonna show them this letter.
This is to the
club. Warned you. To various clubs.
Oh, there
were clubs,
okay,
downtown.
Gotcha.
And so my point is, I think that you can put some, you know, an idea in a business's head and let them know this is what we're seeing. This is what we're doing. Again, I wouldn't be the one that would tell PPD what to do. They can make their own decisions. But because I was a police chief and I am now the sheriff, I'm letting you know what I did. When we have one location, specifically a business, that in my opinion, I'll just say it allows, crowds to gather with insufficient security, then things like this can get out of hand. And I think that they need to be made aware of that. And I think that things need to be taken.
Now, that's an interesting note that, putting something in writing to them would put them on notice. And then, that they would have to think about their legal liability because they have been warned this is an unsafe situation. Interesting. Hey, last thing before we let you go, you're starting the cold case symposium again tomorrow and Thursday, right?
We're only working on four cases this time because the investigators that volunteered their time to come in, they say, we really want to work on these. We want to work more on specific cases. So we're working four, some range from as far back as 1981. We're looking at Anna Brown, who was 38, that was found shot up off of Crabtree Church Road, Molino. We're working on homicide of Kenneth Deshaun Underwood, who was 9 at the time. He was killed somewhere near his Cantonment home in 1981. We're working the homicide of Connie Annette Slaughter, who was 43, found in the backyard of her home. And we're working the death of Stephen R. Davis, who was shot to Winn-Dixie on Navy Boulevard in 1998. So obviously, if anyone has any information on any of these cases, give us a call. But these are the cases that our investigators, and we've got a great reception from our retired investigators, investigators that have moved into the Escambia County area that want to come and give that fresh look, that new set of eyes, and see if we can finally bring some resolution to these families.
Very good. Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always, thank you for the time, the information, and for doing your very best to keep Escambia County safe. I certainly appreciate it. We'll talk to you again next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.
Absolutely. 550 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. You're thinking about selling your home, or you're definitely selling your home, or you're just kind of curious. You're kind of wondering, is this really, should I? I don't know what I want to do. Do I want to move up? Do I want to change locations? Whatever. Okay, this is why you call Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, because they are experts at this. And what's happened is, over the course of about the last 6 or 7 years, she's gone from being somebody who had never sold a home before in her life to being the person that people call to have her conduct their training seminars on how to sell homes. Like, she really understands how to do this. And so, for example, you call her and she's going to be able to tell you, what's the market doing? What are the interest rates doing? How is demand? What is your neighborhood doing? What are things from all of the hundreds and hundreds of homes she sold? What are the things that buyers look for? What turns them off? What keeps them from making an offer on an otherwise really good home, but maybe it's something superficial? Analogy would be, how somebody who has bad breath, right? Maybe your home's got bad breath, something you don't even think about. It's not substantial. It's just a little thing. Fix it. Boom. You sell that home. Or sell it for more. That's the idea. So she can guide you through all of that, help you figure out how to stage it and photograph it and use social media and set the price, all of that, and get the best price possible for that home. It's all about individual attention to details, working passionately on behalf of your home as if it's the only one. It's never the only one. Trust me, she's working on many, but it weirdly feels like it. That's why people love her so much. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, they can help you. 723-9158. 723-9158.
A better air filter on your air conditioner is nice, but it isn't enough. It takes a lot more than that to clean the air that you breathe. This is Todd with Gulf Coast Air Care. On Wednesday's Pep Talk, we'll talk about how to keep pollen, bacteria, and other pollutants out of your lungs. Remember what I always say, if you don't have a good air filter, you are one. Let's talk Wednesday morning at 9:30 on Pep Talk.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
I've been collecting watches since around 2018. Made my first big purchase thinking that was gonna be my only watch. When you're looking at watches and you're doing them online, or if you're in the secondary market, it can be scary because there's a lot of fakes. And I really do focus in on coming in to an authorized dealer like Bray's for any of the Omega or Breitling purchases. They will let you try it on, take pictures, go home, think about it, and just really set your mind at ease.
Come visit us at Bray Jewelers.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
With the largest selection of in-stock vinyl plank flooring at the guaranteed lowest price, Home Outlet is your destination for all of your flooring needs. Modernize your space with easy-to-install rustic loft stone core vinyl plank, including pad, just $249 per square foot. Or brighten your space with the Sanibel Pier waterproof composite core vinyl plank with pad for only $319 per square foot. Visit the team at your local 100% employee-owned Home Outlet to get started on your project today.
The Dave Ramsey Show. Afternoons at 1. After Brian Kilmeade on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Long live the king.
With their tanks and their bombs and their bombs and their guns. In your head,
Biden's proposed budget included $400 million to counter Chinese disinformation. It will target the number one source of Chinese disinformation, fortune cookies.
Yeah, probably so. That's accurate.
Released security footage from the January 6th attacks with the violence edited out and said it proves it was a peaceful gathering, which is like editing all the sex out of a porn video and saying it's a short film about being a stepmom.
All about the Tucker Carlson story, right?
It was reported that the organizers of King Charles's coronation have officially invited Meghan Markle. And this is nice, at a starting salary of $19 an hour.
And the pictures of her in, like, servants.
Very generous, guys.
Attire, because they're racist. 5:55 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Hundreds of thousands of homes in California without power as yet another atmospheric river pounds their state with the hurricane-force winds and drenching rains. About 30 people there under flood alerts. 30 million people, that is. A Russian ambassador says Russia does not want conflict with the U.S. after an American drone was damaged over international waters. Yesterday, Russian jets dumped fuel in front of the drone, hitting the propeller and forcing it to land in the Black Sea. And Senator,
and they bumped it. And they bumped and damaged the wing.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I
they
didn't see that.
They dropped crap in its way, basically, and caused it to have some issues. And then when that wasn't enough, they hit it, hit the wing, damaged it, made Ooh. It go down. Yeah, the Russian plane was also damaged, returned to, you know, airport safely, but,
right.
You know, yeah. This wasn't just, you know, keeping up international relations at a distance of 6 feet inverted. This was like they went out of their way to down this thing.
Are you saying we can't take the Russian ambassador at his word?
Well, yeah, you know, it's kind of weird.
They would never lie.
I mean, it's almost like he says things that are crazy, like Ukraine started the war or the sky is green. You know, it's weird, right?
Right. And Senator Elizabeth Warren calling on Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell to recuse himself from the review of Silicon Valley Bank. Warren's accusing Powell of playing a role in the bank's collapse.
Very good. Thanks so much for the update, David. It's 5:57 here on News Radio 92.3. Oh, speaking of ridiculous things. So we were talking yesterday about how President Trump, former President Trump, goes around in stumps and just keeps attacking, you know, anybody he thinks is a challenge to him getting the nomination. And right now that's Governor DeSantis. Even though DeSantis is not in, that's his number one target, right? You guess who else is sort of on this train now? Mike Pence. Former Vice President Mike Pence is now also attacking Governor DeSantis, saying that his style of punishing Disney for their anti-woke legislation, you know, and the Reedy Creek District and all that, is very much like Gavin Newsom's response to Walgreens over their refusal to carry abortion drugs in states where, you know, their pharmacies might get taken to court or shut down or jailed for selling these drugs, which is kind of a reasonable response by a company, by the way. But he says no go. That's no go. So Mike Pence says they're the same. Here's what I find fascinating. They are completely admitting that DeSantis is the front runner. He's not even in the race yet. And former president and former vice president, one of whom has declared, one of whom is going to declare, you got to assume, And they're spending time now attacking Governor DeSantis, who isn't even in the race yet. It's amazing. You know, the things you admit, right? Who is the front runner? I don't care what the polls say. Look at what the candidates are doing. The candidates are attacking Governor DeSantis. That means they think he's the front runner. 437-1620. Oh, this is kind of, I hope this is as cool as it looks. I hope it turns out as cool as it looks. U2 this week is releasing 60 reimagined versions of its songs. And they say basically, like, when they made these songs to begin with, they were designed to be loud for stadiums, you know, to be rocking and hard. And that's fine. That's great. Of course, that's part of what we love about U2. But they're reimagining them with sort of like softer, more acoustic versions of a lot of these songs to show you a different approach on doing that. I'm eager. I think that sounds amazing. It's kind of like the old MTV Unplugged, you know, versions of things, even with different instruments and stuff. So, anyway, hopefully that comes out this week.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3.